What's up, swimmers and swimmers? I'm today's host, Garrett McCaffrey, and joining us today is five-time Stanford All-American, the 2017 World Junior Champion in the 200 breaststroke, and he just posted, I think it's the seventh fastest 200 breaststroke in the world this year. He's Daniel Roy. This is the Swim Swam Podcast.
This episode of the Swim Swam Podcast is sponsored by Commit Swimming, Swim Swam's exclusive team management software partner. Since 2015, Commit has been providing coaches with swimming's leading workout management software. And now, Commit has team management software too. Commit wants to help you make the switch from Team Unify to a simpler, more powerful solution. Their onboarding and customer service team will walk you through every step of the way. Check them out at commitswimming.com to book your demo today. That's commitswimming.com.
Daniel, thanks for taking a little time in between prelims and finals of the last day here at the Northwest Sectional Meet to catch us up with what you've been up to. I heard you after your 200 breaststroke say, I'm back.
It felt good. Like, I'll be honest, but it's nice just to be back in Federal Way swimming and just enjoying the community that, you know, fell in love with back in the day. And, it's just an absolute pleasure to be, you know, here and enjoying this beautiful weather, but also just some great swimming going on.
Yeah, I mean, you've definitely been the highlight of a really good, fast meet up here, but I kind of want to just catch up. What are you back from? What have you been up to since 21 trials?
You want the short story or the long story?
Long story, that's what we're here for.
So, I'd say, like, after trials, it was kind of mentally checked out and kind of wanted to see what else was out there. And, you know, swimming, I always kept swimming, but I really just wanted to, you know, expand my horizons and explore other things, and just started traveling, you know, picked up some other skills, tried other sports out, and, you know, there was something that, you know, staying in the sun and swimming in the sun, I was like, this is who I am, and, you know, this is something I really enjoyed doing. Just kept doing it, and here I am. I don't know how to explain that, but it was a good time just to take a break and take a breather, but, you know, I did not expect any of this.
Was the plan to get back into the pool eventually?
I would say so. Like, deep down, after trials, I knew I was, like, you know, like, not happy with it, but like, fully, like, it took me some time to put it away, and had a great, you know, NCAA year the year after. Just that team was a tremendous pleasure to be a part of. We were great, the energy we had, and they, if it weren't for them, I probably would not be here. The Stanford boys just pulled me through that year, and it was a tough year for me, but you know, there's nothing I can't do without them.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't get the timeline straight. So you had a year of eligibility left, and that's when you set the record for Stanford in that 200 breaststroke, another All-American finish. You're captain of that team and stuff, so you had that whole other year. What's going on right now that got you first to Portland and then eventually to Nassim and the Dolphins with training?
Over the summer, I was in Spokane. That's where I'm from. And there was a pool called Witter. It's like the only 50-meter pool we got. And every day around noon, we would, like, me and four other guys, Ryan, Trent, and Adam. I remember you guys if you're watching. But during our lunch breaks or during time off from work, we would all just show up at, you know, a sunny, beautiful 50-meter pool and swim something. And on the last day of long course, like, that pool was open, we said, you know, let's do something. Let's go swim something fast, you know, just try it out. And decided to do a 200 breast, suited up, and dove in, did a 214. And I just kind of, man, like, still got it.
Still got it.
Still
sure.
Got it. And I just texted Doug DeJong, my old coach, here at King and now in Singapore, and just asked him, you know, what do you think I should do? I'm in the situation. I don't really know what I want to do with swimming, and I'm trying to figure out the next steps. And introduced me to Nassim, and I've been with Nassim since January, and it's been a good, like, he's my kind of coach, laid back, he's something else. He's definitely a character, and works really well with me, and has just, taken what I have and what I had, really emphasized it. And we have some great young kids. Drew Eubanks, he's going to be something awesome. Taking that role of, I've done all this, but just making sure, I'm a good role model and stuff, being a good positive influence to the kids on that team. It's been an absolute pleasure, and that's probably why I'm still here.
It's pretty unique to have that attitude as a post-grad swimmer who is one of the top in the world, and to embrace swimming with high school kids. Because some post-grads wouldn't want to do that, right? Some post-grads would not be comfortable in that. But watching you after your 209, is that your second fastest time ever on Thursday? Somewhere around there. And then your excitement for Drew, because his 15-year-old teammate Drew got his Olympic trial cut right next to him, in the lane next to him, was more than your excitement for yourself getting into that 209 range again. I mean, how has that been? I mean, has it been okay training with the high school kids? I mean, you just embraced that 100%?
I didn't have that experience growing up. I was by myself mainly, training and having a community around. And Nassim was like, do you want to swim with these kids? Is that okay with you? And I was like, yeah, why else would I be here? And they helped me get through practice. And, it's give and take. It's perfect. And Drew he worked hard for that. And I was just so happy to see him. And he was excited. But mainly, I was next to him every day in practice. And that's just, it's so great to see someone like him. And he's just coming up and coming up. But he put the effort in. I'm way more proud about that. I 209 is great, but having him accomplish his goals was something else.
It was fun to see, and it sounds like all, rainbows and unicorns on this comeback, but there had to be some hard parts too, right? Anything you're doing has got to be a little harder than you expected. What's been the hardest part about getting back into the full-time training thing?
I think, honestly, it was setting aside some personal stuff, like battling addictions, getting sober, and just really, man, I want to get healthy again. I want to be better. I want to change who I was, because I wasn't happy with who I was. And swimming helped me a lot, but a lot of it was just personal, I want to change. I want to be this better version of me. And that's kind of how I'm seeing this rebirth, or this new journey of, I'm healthy. I'm a changed person, and I just really want to become this positive person that I know I am. And it's been awesome.
Yeah, I didn't realize that, but I really appreciate you sharing that. That's brave, but also really empowering for people out there who might be able to relate to that. So thanks for putting that out there. I really do appreciate that.
I wouldn't be here without my support. My friends, I had to sit down with a couple of my friends, I don't like this about me, and yada yada yada. But we see you as you, but we're here for you. You can do it. And having them and these guys that, I swam with for 4 years or 3 years, just come in and say, you can do it. We believe in you. That made this, honed in. These guys, I got great support. And, if it weren't for them, I don't know where I would be. Mentally, physically, spiritually, it's been, and God, I can't be out here without God. He really put these amazing people in my life, gave me the track to go down, and it's been a blessing.
Yeah.
Very blessed.
I mean, it's... taking a higher power and the blessings part of it, it kind of puts the pressure off of you for being perfect. And as somebody who was a world champion coming out of high school, a Stanford athlete, you know, I mean, there's a lot of perfectionism that probably comes along with that territory and expectations of, you know, what you need to be doing and to be able to come out of the other side and, you know, hopefully embrace that person that your friend saw. Are you feeling like that relationship with yourself has gotten better?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just waking up every day and saying like, man, I'm feeling blessed. Like this is great. You know, no, like nothing's dragging me down, you know, like, and it's hard when you have like addictions and trying to clean yourself up and you feel like all these negative things, but you know, and it's reassuring to hear everyone say like, oh, you know, we don't see that. You know, that's not who you are. And trying to work with that and put that first. Like, oh yeah, well, I'm gonna be the best person I can be for these guys. You know, because they were the best person for me. And it's like when I needed them the most. And
it doesn't have to be perfect, right?
Never has to be perfect.
Okay.
Never has to be perfect.
I think it's important. This is a really cool like topic. I had no idea we'd get on, but it's very important. I think there's a lot of people out there who need to hear that kind of stuff.
And you know, it's everyone's going through the same thing. Like everyone, no matter what,
we all
have our things, and that's it's not easy to talk about, especially trying to, you know, fix yourself, because the first thing you got to do in that situation is acknowledge that there is something to fix. And if you don't, and it's like very uncomfortable, and it's, you know, very difficult thing to do.
And you can't do it by yourself.
No. And I learned that because I've changed. Oh, man, I can do this. I'm going to change. And, you know, you fall back on certain things. And you sit there like, what the heck? I just... Dang, you know, like, and it's a cycle, and the best thing you can do is reach out and ask somebody for help. It's the most important thing, because that's why people are in our lives, is for support, love, and care.
Sometimes the hardest thing to do. 100%.
Definitely the hardest
thing. And as hard as it is, it's real. It's so real. There's nothing more real than that kind of vulnerability. And yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that. And I want to keep going and getting into some more real swimming stuff too. What is it that makes Tanas seem such an awesome coach? Let's get specific. I mean, his track record with breaststrokers specifically is amazing, but he's trained sprint, he's trained all of, you know, the different kinds of swimmers. But what is it? Tell me about what it is about Nassim that makes him such a successful coach and such a great person for you to work with.
You know, the first day I got on deck, I had thousands of doubts. You know, it was a dark day. It was like in the middle of January. I just showed up, I drove from Spokane, it was like 5 hours, and just kind of like, what the heck am I doing? Like, this is the